Okay. Let's start then. Tov. Going. Masechet Sanhedrin. Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph. We are
27A.
27A. Thank you. 27A. Just over halfway down the page. We're coming to the end of this section of the Gemara, the end of this Mishnah. Let's just review where we're holding in order to understand what it is we're learning now. This piece of the Gemara that we're learning is the last sugya, the last piece in this Mishnah. And it's the most difficult bit. Mishnah started off, we remember, by giving us a list of those people who were disqualified from testimony. And in that list, it included things like dice players, pigeon racers, people who lend on interest. One of the ways of explaining the Mishnah was that each of these lists of people had a financial irregularity. And although they weren't from the Torah disqualified, they weren't halakhically considered to be robbers, they were still financially suspect. Because you're financially suspect, that was the reason we stopped them from giving testimony. Because we're concerned, amongst other things, that they could easily be bribed. For money, they're going to lie. But now, at the end of the sugya, we see that that assumption does not necessarily hold true. Why not? Because we see at the end of the sugya here that we've got a machloket between Abai and Rava as to what exactly is the reason why we have all of these disqualifications. Abai holds that you don't need a financial irregularity to be disqualified. That it's enough just to be considered to be a rasha. The pasuk says a rasha is not allowed to be an aid. Rava, on the other hand, says no, you do need a financial irregularity, because I read that same pasuk, you need to be a rasha. If you're a rasha, you can't be an aid. It says aid chamas, uses the word chamas, which connotes financial theft, robbery, financial problems. And therefore, we see that actually at the end of the sugya, this now explains the whole Mishnah. What is this Mishnah talking about? Is this Mishnah really a list of financial irregularity, or is that not the connection? And there's actually something else going on here. And at the end of the sugya, we're now having that argument to see between Abai and Rava. Now, where does this come out? So this argument between Abai and Rava came out in one case, a particular case. What was that case? It was the case of someone who eats nevela, treif meat. And that was their machloket. Person who eats treif meat, one says it disqualifies you from being an aid, and the other said no, it doesn't. Which is the case we're talking about? We're talking about in the case of eating it, the ka'as, yeah? Lachis. In the case where it's lahachis, and it's not the teavon, where it's for teavon, you could say it was financial. So we're not arguing about the case of teavon, because then you could argue it was financial, and then we've got no machloket. They both agree it's a financial matter. But in the case where it's not a financial reason, he's doing it simply to rebel. So then that's where we have this machloket arise. One says, it's not a financial matter, Rava. Says it's not a financial matter, it's eating treif meat. Therefore, you can still be a witness. The other says no, Abai says no. You're right, it's not a financial matter, but you're rebelling against God, you are a rasha. And the text, the pasuk says, you can't be a rasha. So Abai holds that. That's where we were holding. Now we got to at the end of that section, we said tiyuvta da Abai tiyuvta. We saw, we made a proof from a braita that suggested that Abai was wrong. Suggested that the real reason was a financial reason. Therefore, that goes against Abai. Abai is an Amorah, And if we have a brayta that goes against him, so we can knock him out. So we thought we've knocked him out. But now the Gemara, at the end of this Gemara, is going to bring Abai back. And actually, we're going to see that Halakha does follow Abai. At the end of the day, the bottom line is that Halakha follows Abai. And that actually, the reasoning behind all of our disqualifications is not a financial reason. It's on account of being a Rasha. Talk what that means halakhically, how we paskan as a result, how we know what to paskan. Questions, many, right? It's not simple what it means that we now follow Abai. If you followed Rabbi, everything's clear, it's easy, it's understandable, it's all financial suspect of being, right? And everything's understandable. Now, at the end of the sugi, we're going to see that we hold by Abai, and that's how we leave it. But so we leave it to the Ge'onim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, to understand how to make the halacha as a result of that. Not our job. Our job is to, at least at this stage, just to try and follow the twists and turns in the Gemara.
Try to look at all the instances that we have, the dice players or sheep herders or whatever, and look at it from a different view. Say that the sheep herders were depending on Hashem for to have enough grazing area or a flock for their sheep, so they took from other people.
Right. So, but we, Abai's shita is based on the fact that they're a rasha, according to the Torah. So they had to be defined as a Rasha. He says if you're a Rasha, that's enough. Rava says no, Rasha Hamas. Rasha in the financial Rasha. So the Shita is just a Rasha. What that means is not clear. Because we only have, at the end of the day, we only have one example. Well, it depends. We have all the other examples. But of Abai Shita that's not financially based. We only have this one, the case of the treif meat. So we don't know just from that one case how far his shita extends. What makes you a rasha? We would have liked, I would have liked, that Abai now explains the parameters of what makes you a rasha, right? Because we don't have anything else. What type of rasha? We may have, I know, elsewhere in the Gemara, other sugyas which deal with where you consider to be a rasha or not. Presumably that's what the poskim must rely on.
What he's saying is that the dice player was a rasha.
Yeah, but that's not. I'm not sure that's it. I'm not sure that's in dispute, though.
What?
I'm not sure that's in dispute. Because everything that Rava says, Abai agrees with. He just extends the category. So we've got all of that financial rasha, right, which we had all a list of, right? They're all financial rashaim. But Abai now says, and all other rashaim, but we don't know what that extra bit now includes. When we were limited to just the financial stuff, so then that's, but now we take off the criteria of financial, and where that extends to, it's not clear, because we've only got the trace meat eater.
No, but he's saying that all the original list is not financial.
But they are as well, he's not disputing they're not. If someone who takes money on interest, for sure is financial. He says it's not the criteria.
But it's also Resha.
Yes.
So we have to look at it and see why, how it's Resha.
It's going against the Torah.
Huh?
Going against the Torah. Ah, you're right.
People looking at everything as being financial.
But financial Rasha, not just financial.
Financial Rasha.
Right.
Okay, but now we have to look at it more as a spiritual Rasha. But he's saying it's Nevela. He's rebelling against God, he says.
You've got.
Within Nevela.
This is Rasha. And a section of this is financial Rasha. Yeah? Actually, the whole category is Rasha. This is financial Rasha, and this is non financial. Right? There's only two. Rasha has only got two parts, financial and non financial. Right, you split the whole category called Rasha into two parts. They might not be equal. It might be this is 20%, this is 80%, and it's different. But well, it doesn't have to be equal. But right, the whole Rasha has within it financial and everything else that's not financial, that's within the case of Rasha.
No, anything that's in the Mishnah And the original Mishnah must be, if it's according to Abaye,
Yes, within this category.
It must be that it's not financial.
It's a Rashi. Right, a non-financial Rashi.
Non-financial Rashi. Right,
uh-huh.
That's it, okay. Because we were looking at it, you know.
Abai says you just need to have Rashi. That's all you need. And therefore, Abai includes all of these people as disqualified. Whereas this is rather only here, so Abai includes all of Rabbah's, but it's just this bit he adds on the other non-financial Rasha, also disqualified. Right, and that we don't know.
For sure
it includes whatever Rav says, and it doesn't argue that financial is also included. He agrees to get rid of the financial too.
On the major categories, couldn't you also argue that it's also financial, such as violating Shabbos?
Could, right, but we don't know now what this non-financial includes, because the only example we've got of this is trade feet. Right? What else it includes in this category, I don't know. There might be lots of other things that you could call a rasha, but I don't know what they are.
But is it different rasha?
I know what Rava holds to be a rasha, because that's clear, it's all these financial irregularities.
It's different rasha, it can be rasha like in public, but he damaged only himself, not but he has made a rebuy.
So for sure we've got the Kal v'chomer. If you say you're a rasha when you eat trade feet, then for sure you're a rasha when you are you're being mean to someone, right? You're hitting someone, right? Because we say that to go against man is worse than to go against Hashem. Currently that's the argument we're using in this sugya, that you've got a Kal v'chomer, you've got a lighter one, which is only against Hashem, eating trade feet between you and Hashem. You're not affecting anyone else. So all the more so if I decide to, go around beating people up. So that makes me a rasha too, because I'm now going against people too. Stealing is obvious, and stealing is already back in that category there.
Because of the rasha.
So now currently where we are.
But there are various other categories, or,
yeah,
you know, such as incest, rape.
Right, so they, okay, Nahon, so those I assume for sure are in this Rasha category, right?
So they would not be, their example, sorry, they cannot be witnesses or judges.
According to Rabbah, yes. According to Rabbah, no. If we went by Rabbah, then it's you're right, it's not a nice person, and we're not inviting you for Shabbos, but it doesn't mean that you're financially suspect of lying in a court. You have a problem. Tough, you have a problem, but it doesn't mean that you're financially suspect of lying in court. We're going to disqualify you.
So does that mean anyone that would normally get Chorus or Malchus?
So we don't know. Well, first of all, we follow our bite. We go by the Rasha. But we don't know what I'm saying. If we don't know what this Rasha, I don't know. I can't see from the page. I'm sure there are people who speak about it. Should look at the Rambam. So the Rambam yesterday on Shabbat has... Whole book on Sanhedrin, where it goes through all the laws that you learn out from all of these. But that's a shame, you should learn it one day. Right? So you can understand what where it actually goes to. Anyway,
let's... Did we cover Rashi?
We haven't covered anything yet, we haven't opened the book.
No, I mean on the page.
So far, yeah, so far we got to where we got to. But so what I want to do is go back over what we looked at yesterday. What we looked at on Thursday was the end bit of this Gemara. And this Gemara will continue until the end of the next Mishnah. So it goes over the from here, the next staff. Right, over the page, halfway down the page on the next staff is where the next Mishnah starts. But all of this is one long argument that continues up until that place. And it's not so easy to stay with it. So Ezrat Hashem will do our best. Hashem will help us, and he'll help me, Ezrat Hashem, to try and explain some of the things that are going on. We'll see what we can learn. Okay, so let's Let's start by going over where we what we did last week. So we said what we're trying to do at the end of the day. Right now, the goal of the Gemara is to work out when we follow Abai or Rabbah. His position, he's any Rasha. Any Rasha is disqualified. What is that? Rabbi says financial. Financial Rasha. Right? So that's the dispute. Now, Gemara wants to say maybe this dispute is actually like a dispute of Tanayim. How does that help us? If it's a dispute of Tanayim, then it means that we can work out the halakha according to which Tana we follow. Or if ultimately there's no Tana, then Tov. You can suppose what you want, because you're a Tana. So, we want to see that maybe this follows the Tanayim. So we looked at the Tanayim that this might follow. And we said, who are the Tanayim? What's the Tanayim dispute that we looked at? So we had a writer about Zomim witness, right? Eid Zomim, Pasul L'chola Torah Kula, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yos. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. In the Braita, they said, right, this is the Braita, and in the Braita, we said an Eid Zomem, he's disqualified from capital from all cases. When is that? So Rabbi Meir said, get the right around. Yeah, right. Rabbi Meir said, any zomim, you're going to be disqualified. If you have to be a zomim witness, in any case, it doesn't matter. You're going to be disqualified for all cases. Rabbi Yosef says, no. Only capital Zomem disqualified for capital cases. Only if you are a Zomem in a capital case can you be disqualified in a capital case. But if you weren't a Zomem in a capital case, you're a Zomem in a civil case, a lower case, then we don't disqualify you from being in a higher case. You're trusted, you're not trusted in financial civil matters between man and man because you've lied, you've proven yourself to lie in there in those cases. However, to be lying in a capital case for a murder case or to kill someone, we don't think you're going to lie in there. We've got no reason to suspect you're going to lie. You're right, you've proven yourself as a liar in financial matters. I've no reason to suspect that you're going to lie in a capital case. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Otherwise, says no. Any zomem is disqualified. Doesn't matter what you were disqualified for. Once you're lying in court, you're lying in court. Forget it. Meaning, in the same terms, once you're suspect of lying in a financial matter, you are suspect of lying in a higher capital case. Right? So these are the Kal Vachomer. The lower case is the civil case. If you're suspected in that, whether or not that means you're also suspected in a higher one. Right? Rabbi Meir says you are suspected, and therefore any zomem is disqualified. Rabbi Yossi says you're not suspected of the higher case, and therefore You're not disqualified only if you happen to be disqualified in that type of case, in a higher case. So now this is what the Gemara wants to suggest. Maybe we can link up these two positions, or we can say that Abai is really like Rabbi Meir, and rather is really like Rabbi Yossi, right? And then if we can do that, we can say that they're based on these Tanayim, right? These are the Tanayim, and these are the Amorayim, right? And we're trying to find what the Tanaic argument is, where it's based on these Amorayim, where they got their arguments from. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the case.
How?
Maybe we can say, Nema Abai Karabi Meir. Let's say that Abai is like Rabbi Meir. But Rabba Karabi Yossi, and Rabba is like Rabbi Yossi. How does that work? So Rabba, Abai to Rabbi Meir, the first one, Abai, who says like Rabbi Meir. So our proposal is Dama Amrina Mikula Lachumra. He says you could go from a Kula to a Chumra. Abai is like Rabbi Meir, why? Because if you look at the reason, right, this is the suggested reasoning, right? The suggested reasoning that would make this make sense is that we here both agree you can go from Kula to Umrah. What's Kula and Khumra? Kula is a lesser and Khumra is a higher. So according to this suggested reasoning, that's why they sit. Because Rabbi Meir is going from a Kula to a Khumra, and Abai is also going from a Kula to a Khumra. How's Rabbi Meir going from a Kula to a Khumra? He says that any time you're a Zomem, you're forbidden for both courts. Even if you're a Zomem in a lower court, we disqualify you from the higher court. So we take you from a Kula to a Khumra. Right? You are suspect in a lower case, and we make you suspect in a higher case. You can go from the Kula to the Khumra, from the light case of a civil, and when you're suspected, you lie in a light case, you're suspected even in a heavy, high case. That's a Kula to a Khumra. Just like Abai. Abai has that same Shita, according to our proposal now, why? Because he said any Rasha, even a person who only ate treif meat, who therefore only went against Hashem and didn't go against man, but he's suspected of lying against man in a court, right? The reason we're going to throw him out of court, not make him a witness, is even though we've got no proof that you go against man, you only went against God, so to speak, a lesser category for this purpose. He holds, doesn't matter, you're disqualified any Rasha. And that's the same reasoning. He's going from a Kula to a Khumra. He's taking a lower case of going against Hashem. And learning from that to a higher case, you're also disqualified about going, you're now also suspect against, also going against man. If you're going to go against God, I don't trust that you're not going to go against man too. Right? So he's got a Kula to a Khumra. So therefore, we can suggest that Abai is really following Rabbi Meir. And what about Rava? Rava damak Rabbi Yossi. Why? Damak mechumah lekula amrinan. Mekula lechumah lo amrinan. He says not. He says we can go from the chumah to the kula. You're right. If you commit the higher one, so for sure you're suspect of the lower one. That's logical. But to go jump up from a lower to a higher now, I don't agree that if you're a zomem in a lower case, in a civil court, I'm not going to throw you out of the capital case. I've got no reason to suspect that just because you lied in a civil matter, that you're also going to lie in a capital case. I've got no reason to make a jump to a higher, from a Kula to a Khumra. And Rava too also has that. You're right, you had treif meat, You went against Hashem. You went against the law. But I have no reason to suspect that you will also lie in court against your fellow man. So his reasoning is, does not go from Kula to Kula. Right? And that then is our argument. That's our initial proposal. That's what the Gemara wants to try and set up. You can call it an Akimta. Right? It's a setup. Let's set this up and see if it fits. So that's the Gemara's setup. So far, so good. Before we knock it all down. Yeah?
Capitals is the Gemara.
Right? Whether we can go from.
And the English word doesn't fit in though. The civic means against man.
Civil means against man.
Civil means against man, against a citizen.
You're right. It doesn't. This is not what. These are two separate. These are two separate. This is the case of eating trade. This is the case of zomer. They don't. They're not. There's no equality between them. Okay, so that's the setup of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe we can say that. And if that argument stands, then fine, we've now got support, we now have a source for Abai Rava, which can be useful, and I can then do stuff with that. I can then see between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi who's right, and whatever, and I can come out with a final halacha. Right? So that's the setup. But now, the Gemara, obviously, as it does in these cases, challenges that and says, no, it's very nice. Looks nice, but we're gonna dispute that and show how that. There's two ways of looking at disputes like this.
But in a deep way, when you only against Hashem, is it?
Who?
No, let's say you eat only bread, but you will not keep Shabbat. I
mean, that's only against Hashem.
In the way you were against men too.
Why?
Because Hashem. When we know from the Yahad, so they
talk in an indirect way, indirectly maybe, but on the basic, this is the argument. Basic shot. So there's two. We're now going to dispute. So when the Gemara disputes, like it's going to do now, there's two ways of understanding what exactly is the Gemara doing here. Is the Gemara actually showing now that this is wrong, or is it showing that it's potentially wrong? What's the difference? Why does it matter? Either way, we're gonna throw it out. But we're throwing out because it's not a correct understanding. It's just not correct. Or it's potentially not correct. If it's potentially not correct, we also throw it out because we can't rely on it. We can't say that this is correct. So I can show you an argument why it might not be correct. And the reason why it might not be correct is strong enough to say that it's not reliable. And therefore, we need a different answer. Or I'm actually showing that the logic is incorrect. The logic that you thought made sense doesn't make sense. So there's two different types of dispute that the Gemara can bring against the proposal. One, that you're right, but I can find a loophole, so it doesn't have to be that way. You can look at it a different way. And therefore, maybe this is not right, so let's find something that we can rely on. Throw it out, start again, and find something solid. Or, no, your logic's wrong because I can show you why your logic's wrong. So, here, in this case, we're gonna say the second way. That this doesn't necessarily have to be correct. Because I can show you another way of understanding the brighter, right? The green, the Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi dispute. I can show you, or actually the whole thing, right? Another way of understanding it. Therefore, this proposal, because it's just a proposal, is not strong. You can't rely on this and say that these are following the two Tanayim. Okay, so let's see what the alternative way of understanding the Brisa is. Gemara says, lo. No, not what you just thought. Why not? I can tell you differently. I can say like this. Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Aliba means according to the view of. If we take the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Kule alma la plige. Everyone agrees that there's no dispute. What are we going to do now? So we're going to show like this. Instead of saying that Abai is like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi is like Rabbi Yossi, instead of saying that, we're going to say no. This argument between Abai and Rabbi only appears in the case of, I'm going to say in the case of Rabbi Meir there, right? In the case of Rabbi Meir. In the case of Rabbi Yossi, they actually agree. And it's only if you look at matters through the lens of Rabbi Meir that you end up with this disagreement. Yeah? We'll see it inside, but this is the outside, this is the framework. Right? At the moment we're saying, Abai follows Rabbi Meir all the way. Rabbi follows Rabbi Yossi all the way. But now I'm going to say, no, I can show you how actually they both agree with Rabbi Yossi. And it's only in the case of Rabbi Meir where we have the machloket. It still means there's a machloket. It just means that this whole table is wrong. This doesn't follow that. It's not linear. This follows that way, this follows that way. That's not correct. Instead, both of these are actually over here. They were like, Abba and Rabba, they're both here. And we're going to split Rabbi Meir's opinion. Right, Rabbi Yossi, where everyone is agreed to, there's no argument between Abba and Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi. That's what the Gemara is going to say.
So they're both agreeing that it's a financial matter for Treif, or the opposite?
No. They're both staying with their opinions, their ultimate opinion, which is this. This doesn't change. This first part, the Abai thinks, any Rasha, and Rav thinks only financial rashi. That doesn't change. They still hold those agreements. But what we're going to say is, Rabbi Meir is where, according to the view of Rabbi Meir, you have this problem. But according to the view of Rabbi Yossi, you don't end up in this problem at all. They're agreeing under the rules of Rabbi Yossi's ruling, they would never have this argument. Under the rules of Rabbi Meir's ruling, they do have this argument.
That's why I asked my question, because I'm confused. Is it just for Treif?
We're now looking at the argument in the case of Treif. In the case of Treif, the Gemara says, what do we have? So far, we have only this dispute arises, right? How do we get to this argument? We only have one case. This. This was where the argument arose. Eating treif. One said, if you ate treif, you can be a witness. It was a no God. Right? That was the case of Abai and Rabba. Now, that case of eating treif would never arise for Rabbi Yossi. For Rabbi Yossi, they would both agree that you are not disqualified. You'll see that why in a minute. According to Rabbi Yossi, this case only has one answer. Right? Let's see why in a minute. Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, in the Hebrew, Aliba da, according to Rabbi Yossi, there is no argument here. It has to be, well, you have to follow the Tanakh. Has to be no disqualification. Why not? So we're going to see that's what the Gemara is going to say now. Let's just look at that. Why not? Told you that the match is juggling when you get home, and at least five different balls in the air at one time. Right? And you have to. So anyway. Why is Rabbi Yossi saying? according to Rabbi Yossi, who we know this qualification, why not? Let's look at Rabbi Yossi. I remember Rabbi Yossi is Tana, he's giving a shita, you can't go against, right? Unless you can go against the top. Anyway, what he's saying, he doesn't go from a kula to a kumra. He's saying if you were a zomem in a civil case, you're not disqualified in the higher case. If you mess up in the low, you don't automatically mess up in the high. What does that mean? If you messed up eating treif in the low, only against Hashem, you're not disqualified in the high from being in court. So we will never have this argument. Because you can't be disqualified from going from a higher to a lower. Even Abai would agree that even Abai, why would Abai agree? Yeah, even Abai would agree that even though he says, truth is, I don't have an answer to that question, to my own question. I'm also sorry.
My problem is, I don't know how a bias is made for expression in a case on Yossi.
So maybe I'm explaining it differently. The it might not be the best explanation of what's actually going on. The wording here is that according to Rabbi Yossi, they all agree and they don't dispute. The art scroll says Abai certainly does not follow Rabbi Yossi. But my problem is, if Abai doesn't follow Rabbi Yossi, how can you say that they all agree? But I think maybe you have to say this: if you follow Rabbi Yossi's opinion, Abai doesn't have a place.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So we were trying to say but he does have a place against Rabbi Meir, and we're back to the same circle.
Abai would destroy
him. Nachon.
That's what you want to destroy him?
No. We know about Abai disqualifies him.
Both of them disqualify. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
They both would agree with Rabbi Yossi. In the case of eating treif.
Yeah. No. That's what I wanted to say, but it doesn't work. That's the route I was going down. Go on.
We have already with Rabbi disqualifies him because it's a case against God. It's not a financial case. So
he doesn't disqualify.
Doesn't he?
No, he only disqualifies financial.
He's not disqualified. You wrote down and go from Kula to Kula. Are we just not paying attention to that anymore?
Yeah, maybe let's look at the Rashi. Let me just say what it is, both of them, and then let's look at the Rashi to see if it makes sense. So the words that say like this: according to Rabbi Yossi, they both agree. There's no dispute. But according to Abai, there is a dispute. I think maybe what he's saying like this: if you're in the world of Rabbi Yossi, there's no room for argument here. There's no dispute. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you can't go from a kula to a kuppa, so there's no place to have an argument. If you're in the world of Rabbi Yossi Shita, there's no place for an argument. But if you're in the world of Rabbi Meir Shita, then there is room for an argument. Why? So Rabbi Meir, because
the kula is the against God only. The way against the God, you go from that to the easily to the kula, go from that to the kula. You go from that to the kula. Meaning that if only against God, you're not disqualified. You're not going to be disqualified. You're also with the kula.
So I think he's saying like this. Sorry, I think I'm standing down because of Hashem a bit more. So he's saying like this. In the case of Rabbi Yossi, we can say that everyone would have to follow his opinion. We wouldn't have this argument. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, if you follow Rabbi Yossi, then you can't go from a kula to a chumrah. That's what Abai wants to do. Abai wants to go from a kula to a chumrah. And therefore it doesn't work for Abai. Abai would have, there would only be one opinion.
Right, Yossi.
Bye-bye, Rabbi Yossi. Yeah? According to Rabbi Yossi, we're saying no room for Abai. And there's no room for Abai's opinion here. Right? Because you can't go from a kula to a chumrah. That's what Abai wants to do. But in the case of Rabbi Meir, there is room. There is room for both opinions. That's the difference we're saying here. Right? According to Rabbi Yossi, there's no room for Abai, so they all have to. So they actually have to agree. There's no dispute. There's no machoket in the world of Rabbi Yossi, because you can't have Abai. Abai's opinion doesn't fit with Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because you can't go from a kula to a chumrah. You can't go. You can't take nor any lower rasha and bring him up.
There's not a difference between Rasha and Zomim?
Yeah, really.
He's a Rasha, so he isn't disqualified for witnessing.
Yeah, right, cool.
That's that one. By Rabbi Meir, but he's a Zomim. So he's disqualified because he made a wrong statement.
So that's what
Rabbi Meir is. So Rabbi Meir can be a Rasha, can witness.
Nahon.
But he's the one disconcept when he is Zomim.
Exactly, for you. So that's why you can have both opinions in the case of Rabbi Meir. I'll say that again. What we just said, basically you got it. Right? In the case of Rabbi Yossi, there's no room for Abai's opinion. Rabbi Yossi, if Rabbi Yossi was a Shita, let's go back in history. Right, we've got Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, the two Tanayim, and they had a dispute about Zomim. If it happened to be that Rabbi Yossi was correct, and Rabbi Yossi was a Shita, then that was what they were learning down. It came to the Amorayim. The Amorayim would have to go by this. They would never have got to this argument. Because Rabbi Yossi's opinion doesn't allow for Amai's argument. Abai can't make his argument, you know what, it should be any Rasha, and any Rasha that's found is also disqualified from another case, right, from a higher court. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi's opinion that you can't go from a kula to a chumrah would negate this possibility. You wouldn't have found a case of eating treif meat would disqualify you from going to court, according to this logic, right? If we were following Rabbi Yossi. However, if we'd say no, actually we're following Rabbi Meir is a true shita, two halacha that came, that was brought down. There, Rabbi Meir does have the possibility of understanding Rabbi Meir in two different ways, which allows for this machloket to exist. Therefore, we're going to see that actually Rabbi Meir is the more likely shita to be correct. Because of Rabbi Meir, we now have this argument of Abai Rabba. If we actually only had Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Yossi was the one we were following, we would never have this argument. Because Abai would never be able to say that the eating traits disqualified you from being in a higher court, in a court. Because you go from a kula to a kula.
So we're not saying that they both agree with Rabbi Yosef. We're just saying that we didn't have this argument.
Yes,
according to Rabbi
Yosef.
That's what we were trying
yeah,
to
do. That's what we're trying to do, what I meant. And that's what it means to say that they both agree in the case of Rabbi Yosef. It means that there's no other pocket.
But they don't agree with Rabbi Yosef.
That's the language of the Gemara. That's why it was not hard to understand. They both agree. It means there's no other pocket. There's no argument arising in the case of Rabbi Yosef. The argument only arises in the case of Rabbi Meir. Case of Rabbi Meir, this argument arises why. We haven't come to that. Reuben just mentioned it, but we're going to explain that now. Because of Rabbi Meir, his opinion, so now that allows a possibility of two different understandings of Rabbi Meir. Abai holds, yeah, Rabbi Meir means this. Rabbi holds, no, Rabbi Meir means that. Right? Allows for it. We can fit both opinions in here. We can't fit these two opinions in here, though. Because Rabbi Yossi would never allow for this. But they would both allow, they would both fit within Rabbi Meir. How do they both fit within Rabbi Meir? That's the next question, and that's 2 minutes on that. How do they fit within Rabbi Meir? Like this. Rabbi Meir said, any Zomem witness is disqualified. So you can understand that two ways. The first way is, it definitely fits with Abai. Because we could say, on the one hand, just like Abai said, originally this, it's good, right? We don't need to work out why Abai fits with Rabbi Meir. We'd already worked that out before, right? It goes from a kula to a kumra. If you're disqualified in a lower court, you're also disqualified in a higher court. And according to now in Rabbi Meir's opinion, he does allow for Abai for sure. He said that was our starting point. The question is, how does Rabbi Meir allow even for Rabbah? How can Rabbah say, you know what, I hear what Rabbi Meir said, but I just got a different view. How does he allow for that? Because Rabbah can tell you that Rabbi Meir, in the words of the Gemara, I can lo kama Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said what he said, only hatam ela gabei eid zomim to mamon. In the case of a zomem, you're disqualified because you're rala shemayim and rala briyot. And here we're only Rale Shamayim. Okay, lovely. Rabbi says like this. I think he says the case of Zomim is different. The case of Zomim and witness is different. In the case of the Zomim witness, according to Rabbi Meir, he went against Hashem and man in being a Zomim witness. Right, he went against both. Right, he was a Zomim witness who testified falsely against someone else, and he also broke the Torah in doing so. He went against both. And therefore, it's not a good proof for the reason why you're then suspect in a higher court. When the case of the person eating treif, the rabbi disagreed with, the rabbi said, person eating treif, we don't disqualify. Why not? You're right. I know that in the court system, once you lied in the lower court, you're also suspect in the high court. That's different because when you lied in court, you lied against both. Both Hashem and Shemayim, both Hashem and Fallen Man. Right, so if you lie in court, lower court, you're also disqualified in the higher. But here, when you went Treif Beit, you only lied against Hashem. And I therefore, it can't move you up into the category of lying against Hashem and against man by disqualifying you also from being a witness. Rabbi says you're not disqualified from being a witness when you enter Treif Beit. Why? I agree with Rabbi Meir, 100%. If you lie in the lower court, you're also not allowed in the higher court. Fine, that makes sense to me. You can go from a Kula to a Kumra, but only in the same framework, right? You were lied against man and Hashem in this court, and you're going to lie against man and Hashem in a higher court too. Fine, I agree with you. But that's different, says Rava, in case of eating Treif Beit. Because if you're eating Treif Beit, you only lied against Hashem. You didn't lie against your fellow man. So I can't imply, make a jump from eating Treif to disqualifying you in the court. And that's why Rava says a person eating Treif is not disqualified. And he argued with Abai says no, it doesn't. Abai says I don't need the same exact framework, I just use the same logic. Just like you lied against man, so you probably, Hashem, you're also going to lie against man, so I'm going to disqualify you both. Once you lie, you lie. You went against Hashem, you're going to go against man until you disqualify. You're going from a Kula to a Chumra. But Rava narrows down the Kula to the Chumra jump as to being in the same category. I agree with you, Kula to a Chumra, in the case of the court, but not in the case of going from Treif to a court. And that's why you've got this machloket only in the case of Rabbi Meir, but not in the case of Rabbi Yossi.
No.
That's cash.